Primeramente, quiero decir muy buenos días a todos.
First off, I'd like to say good morning to everyone.
Y mi esposa y yo, niños, estamos contentos de estar entre ustedes.
My wife and my child and myself, we're very happy to be here with you all.
Y que es un honor y es un placer compartir la palabra de Dios.
It's an honor and a pleasure to preach the word of God today.
Quiero, bueno, como pueden ver allí en el boletín, el tema es the perfect love.
As you can see in the bulletin, the theme is el amor perfecto.
Yo estaba pensando cómo puedo confirmar en la fe a mis hermanos.
How I was trying to think about how I could confirm the faith of my brothers.
Y Dios puso esto en mi corazón de compartir estos testimonios de Jonathan y de Ruth.
God put in my heart to share with you the testimonies of John and Jonathan and Ruth.
Para poder mostrar de la Biblia el perfecto amor.
To show from the Word of God the perfect love.
Pero no hay mejor pasaje en la palabra de Dios para mí que 1 Corintios 13.
There's not a better passage in the Word of God for me than 1 Corinthians 13.
Que define el amor.
That defines what love is.
Y 1 Corintios 13, 7.
And 1 Corinthians 13, 7.
Que concluye todo lo que está hablando acerca del amor.
This concludes everything that it is talking about love in the context. It says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
Cristo cumplió con estas cosas para nosotros.
Christ fulfilled all of these things with us.
Si cumplimos estas cosas, estas definición del amor,
if we fulfill these things, this definition of love,
entonces podemos decir que hemos tenido un perfecto amor.
Then we can say that we've had a perfect love.
Oremos.
Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity that we have right now to get into your word. And I know, Lord, that there's a lot that you've put on Ramses's heart. I pray that you'd help us to be able to make this the preaching and the translation as smooth as possible, and to communicate everything clearly that the Holy Spirit is leading him to lay out today, and that we would all be truly edified and strengthened by it. I thank you for the example that he has, that he's lived down in Panama, and I pray that we would be able to benefit from his walk with you over the years, and to be able to see and hear what it is that you want us to know today and to apply to our lives, so that we too can have that perfect love that 1 Corinthians 13 lays out so clearly that only comes from an intimate relationship with you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
En primera de Samuel 18,
in 1 Samuel, chapter 18, in verses 1 through 4. Okay. It says, and it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul said, and Saul took him that day and would let him go no more to his home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle.
Jonathan quedó impresionado con el buen testimonio de David.
Jonathan was very impressed with the good testimony that David had.
Al confrontar en batalla a Goliath,
to confront Goliath in battle.
No solamente fue su lucha física,
not just because of his physical battle,
sino sus palabras fueron claras para su corazón.
Also his words were clear from his heart.
En el capítulo anterior, en 1 Samuel 17,
in the chapter before this, in chapter 17,
David está diciéndole a Goliat en versículo 45 al 47.
David is saying to Goliath in verses 45 to 47.
Su confianza en Dios.
His trust in the Lord. It says, Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands."
Por eso, Jonathan ligó su alma a David.
For this, these words, Jonathan made a league and with his soul with David.
Y esto lo guía a amarlo como a sí mismo.
And this led him into loving him like him, like himself.
Porque él también tenía un corazón ligado al Señor.
Because he as well had a heart that was linked with the Lord.
Cuando alguien está dispuesto a amar,
when anyone is willing to love,
no solamente no es un amor físico, sino es algo más allá de lo físico.
It's not just a love that's physical, it's something that goes beyond physical love.
Pero lo que entregó Jonathan a David fue el resultado de algo espiritual.
What Jonathan gave to David was the result of something spiritual.
El manto, su ropa, su espada, su arco y su talabarte.
Everything that he gave him, his garments, his sword, his bow, his girdle.
Todo esto también es como Pablo puede mencionar en Filipenses 2:3-4.
This is all like what Paul mentions in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4.
Lo que es un amor humilde, un amor de verdad.
What is that is a love that's humble, a love that is true. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others."
Lo que me impresiona después de Jonathan es su entendimiento.
What impresses me about Jonathan is his understanding.
¿Cómo él entiende las cosas que van a ocurrir en David?
How he understands what's going to happen with David.
Este es su testimonio en 1 Samuel 20, 13 al 17.
This is his testimony in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 13 to 17.
Él dice,
it says, "The Lord do so and much more to Jonathan, but if it please my father to do the evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, and thou that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee, and as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. Not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with David, with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul.
Entendiendo que Saúl estaba buscando la vida de David.
Understanding that that Saul was looking to kill David.
Era el padre de Jonathan.
He was the father of Jonathan.
Y sintió envidia de David.
And he was envious of David.
Pero Jonathan pudo saber que Dios estaba con David.
But Jonathan knew that God was with David.
Y que Dios iba a cortar uno por uno sus enemigos.
And that God was going to cut off one by one his enemies.
No solamente eso, aún en este pasaje él está pidiendo misericordia por su vida. Está pidiendo misericordia a David por su vida.
Not only this, in this passage he's asking for mercy from David for him, for himself.
Y por su casa, su familia.
And for his family.
Y en 1 Samuel 23, 15 al 18, todavía tiene una revelación más completa.
And in 1 Samuel 23, verses 15 to 18, he shows a revelation even more complete. It says, beginning in verse 15, "And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house."
Jonathan entiende que David va a reinar sobre todo Israel.
Jonathan understands that David is going to reign over all Israel.
Y también que él iba a ser segundo en el reino.
And also that he was going to be second in the kingdom.
Esto es algo que él entendió del Señor, del Espíritu Santo.
This is something that he understood from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit.
Me recuerda a Mateo 16, 17, cuando Jesús habla con Pedro.
This reminds me of Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord is speaking to Peter. In verse 17, specifically in the passage, says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven."
Y también Pablo habla de esto en 1 Corintios 2:10, de conocer el corazón de Dios.
And also Paul speaks of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 10, to know the very heart of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Aún más, también la palabra de Dios está dando un testimonio de la verdad.
Even more, the Word of God is giving testimony of the truth.
Como podemos ver en 1 Samuel 18, 12.
As we can see, going back to 1 Samuel chapter 18, in verse 12, says, "And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul."
Podemos ver cómo Jehová estaba con David y se apartó de Saúl.
We can see that how God was with David, but had departed from Saul.
Y cómo no solamente se apartó de Saúl, sino que no estaba ya más con él.
Not just that he had departed from Saul, but also that he just wasn't with him anymore.
Saúl fue enemigo de Dios.
He became the enemy of God.
1 Samuel 28, 15 al 16.
1 Samuel 28.
Saúl hace llamar a Samuel.
He called Saul calls for Samuel, who's dead.
Espero que conozcan la historia.
Hope you know the story.
Y dice lo siguiente.
And says the following in 1 Samuel 28, verses 15 and 16. "And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, For the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing that the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy?
Este es el testimonio de la palabra.
This is the testimony of the word.
Porque el versículo que leímos anteriormente,
because the verse that we read before,
dijo que Dios no estaba con Saúl.
Said that God wasn't with him, wasn't with Saul.
Y esto solamente que está diciendo Samuel a Saúl.
And this what Samuel is telling Saul.
Es el testimonio de lo que estaba diciendo anteriormente.
This is the same testimony of what it was recorded earlier in the Word of God.
Cuando la palabra de Dios da un testimonio,
when the Word of God gives testimony,
eso es así.
It is like that.
Así como Dios estuvo con David,
just as God was with David,
así también Dios estuvo con Pablo.
He was with Paul as well.
Aún si él tenía que estar solo.
Even when he had to be alone.
Con la verdad.
With the truth.
Segunda Timoteo 4, 16, 17.
In 2 Timothy chapter 4,
Pablo comparte este testimonio personal.
Paul shares this personal testimony in verses 16 and 17. Says, At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion.
Finalmente, ¿cómo podemos definir el ejemplo de Jonatán?
And finally, how can we define the testimony of Jonathan?
¿Cuál es su testimonio final?
What is his final testimony?
¿Qué dice David de Jonatán, su amigo?
What does David say about Jonathan, his friend?
No hay otro ejemplo tan claro de la Biblia.
There's not any other example just as clear from the Word of God.
Que repite una y otra vez.
That says once and again.
Que Jonatán lo amó como a sí mismo.
Jonathan loved David as himself.
Y tenemos en 2 Samuel,
and we have in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 23,
lo siguiente.
Says, Saul and Jonathan, this is David speaking, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions.
David entendió.
David understood.
Que Jonathan estaba ligado a su padre.
He understood that Jonathan was connected, linked with his father.
Toda su vida.
His whole life.
Hasta la muerte.
Until the death.
No se separó, inseparables.
They did not separate, they were inseparable.
Pero Dios no estaba ya con Saúl.
But God was not with Saul.
Dios estaba con David.
God was with David.
¿Quién es Dios?
Who is God?
¿Es la verdad?
Is the truth?
¿Es la luz?
Is the light?
¿Es el camino?
He is the way.
¿Dónde quedó Jonathan?
Where did Jonathan stay?
En lo contrario.
In the opposite.
De la luz, de la verdad, del camino.
Opposite of the light, the way, the truth.
Y fue directo a la muerte.
And he went straight to death.
Lo increíble de Jonathan,
the incredible thing about Jonathan,
es que él entendió todo esto.
Is that he understood all of this.
Pero no pudo aún cumplir el pacto, aunque él entendió.
That he couldn't complete his own pact, his own covenant that he made with David.
Ser segundo del rey.
To be the second to the king. Even though he understood this.
Hay una realidad bíblica.
There's a reality, biblical reality here.
No puedes tener dos señores en el mismo tiempo, en el mismo momento.
You can't have two lords at the same time, in the
Nunca.
Same moment. Never.
Jesús dice en Mateo 6:24.
The Lord, Jesus says in Matthew 6:24. 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Finalmente, Saúl fue su señor.
And in the end, Saul was Jonathan's lord.
Él pudo escoger a David como su señor.
He could have chosen David as his lord.
Cuando él está diciendo que él sería segundo en el reino,
when he was saying that he was going to be second in the kingdom,
es porque David iba a ser su señor.
It's because David was going to be his lord.
Pero no fue así.
But it wasn't like that.
Tenemos un ejemplo de Pablo con Demas.
We have another example from Paul of Demas.
En 2 Timoteo 4:10.
In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10.
Dice,
says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia.
Demas desamparó a Pablo.
Demas abandoned Paul.
Amó más al mundo que a Pablo.
He loved the world more than Paul.
Y eso es como lo colocó en un segundo lugar.
And that is like him accepting the second place.
El perfecto amor,
the perfect love,
va hasta la muerte,
goes to the death,
con el ser querido,
with the person that they love.
Como Priscila y Aquila, que dieron su vida por Pablo.
As Priscilla and Aquila were willing to give their life for Paul.
Romanos 16:3-4.
In Romans 16, verses 3 and 4, it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles.
Regresando a entender el testimonio final de Jonatán.
Going back to examine the final testimony of Jonathan.
Piensa, ¿cuántos años perdió Jonatán en ver la gloria de David?
Think about how many years did Jonathan lose to be able to see the glory of David?
40 años.
40 years.
No vio un año de su reinado.
Didn't see even 1 year of his kingdom.
Increíble.
It's unbelievable.
Esto me impresiona.
This impacts me.
Y me hace pensar que entender las cosas,
it makes me think that to understand things,
no es suficiente.
Is not enough.
Quiero ir al ejemplo de Ruth.
I want to go to the example of Ruth.
Para ver un buen ejemplo.
To see a good example. Ruth.
Primeramente, Ruth declara su amor a Noemí.
First off, Ruth declares her love for Naomi.
Como muestra en Ruth 1:14-17.
As it shows in Ruth chapter 1, verses 14-17.
Noemí perdió su esposo.
Naomi lost her husband.
Murió pues.
He died.
Sus hijos,
her two sons.
Y no tenía nada.
He didn't have anything.
Solamente sus dos nueras.
Only her two daughter-in-laws.
Y ellas están viniendo con Ruth.
And they're living with together.
Para ir hacia Israel.
To go to Israel.
Y la palabra de Dios dice,
and the word of God says in verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me.
¿Qué declaración más grande?
There's not a greater declaration than that.
Como la declaración de los votos de Rebeca y Elías.
Like the vows that Elias and Rebecca took.
O de cualquier matrimonio que van al altar.
Or whatever marriage that goes to the altar.
Hasta este momento, esto es palabra.
Up to this moment, these are just words.
Pero ella está yendo con Noemí.
But she is going with Naomi.
Y vamos a ver la firmeza de su palabra.
And we're going to see how firm her words are.
Piensa en un momento.
Think about it for a moment.
En la familia de Ruth.
In the family of Ruth.
Piensa que no tenía dolor por su familia, su papá, su mamá, sus hermanos.
Think about the pain that she felt for her mother, her father, all of her family, everything that she was leaving behind.
La Biblia no lo dice.
No, the Bible doesn't tell us.
Pero es lógico.
But it's logical.
No tengo duda de eso.
I don't have a doubt about that.
También Pablo tuvo dolor por su familia.
Even Paul had pain for his family.
Cuando él decidió amar al Señor antes que a cualquier otra cosa.
When he decided to love Christ above everything else.
Romanos 9.
In Romans chapter 9.
Él lo dice así.
He explains this. Romans chapter
9. 1 al 3.
1 to 3. Says, I say the truth in Christ and lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh.
Ruth entendió algo mejor.
Ruth understood something better.
Irse con Noemí.
To go with Naomi.
Hacia Israel.
To Israel.
Pablo entendió que era mucho mejor.
Paul understood that it was much better.
Amar a Cristo antes que a cualquier otra cosa.
To love Christ above anything else.
El testimonio de Ruth.
The testimony of Ruth.
Es consistente. Podemos verlo en el libro de Ruth.
It's consistent, and you can see it in back over in Ruth.
En el capítulo 2.
In chapter 2. Verses 10 through 12.
Capítulo 10 al 12
says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust.
Allí vemos como Boaz declara el testimonio de Ruth, y que es claro para todo el pueblo.
Here we see how Boaz declares the testimony of Ruth, then that this testimony is clear for the entire people of Israel.
Igual como Pablo, es consistente, es firme su testimonio a través de toda su vida.
In the same manner, Paul is consistent in his testimony throughout his entire life.
Filipenses 3:8.
In Philippians chapter 3,
Pablo tiene este reto personal, esta meta personal en su vida.
Paul shows this personal goal that he has in his life in verse 8. Philippians chapter 3 in verse 8. It says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
Tenemos también el testimonio de la palabra de Dios en la vida de Ruth.
We also have the testimony of the word of God in the life of Ruth.
Podemos regresar nuevamente a Ruth y ver en el capítulo 3, versículo 11, avanzando cada capítulo.
We can go back to the book of Ruth and see as we advance through each chapter. Now in chapter 3, in verse 11, it said,
en el capítulo 2, Ruth está trabajando en la viña de Boaz.
In chapter 2, Ruth is working in the field of Boaz. And this is why she's like, why have I found grace before you in your eyes that you've given me this work?
Pero en este capítulo 3, ella está pidiendo que él la redima.
And in chapter 3, she is asking him to redeem her.
Como su esposa.
As his wife.
Dice.
It says in verse 11, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman."
Esta es la única vez en la Biblia.
This is the only time in the Bible
que se habla del testimonio de una mujer virtuosa.
It speaks of the testimony of a specific woman who is virtuous.
Esto no quiere decir que no había mujeres virtuosas en la Biblia.
It doesn't mean that there's not virtuous women and other virtuous women in the Bible.
Pero específicamente se habla de ella como una mujer virtuosa.
But it specifically speaks of Ruth as a virtuous woman.
Y ese es el testimonio de la palabra, como Proverbios 31 está hablando de una mujer virtuosa.
And this is the testimony of the word of God, just like Proverbs 31 speaks of a virtuous woman.
Si quieren ver quién es una mujer virtuosa,
you want to know who's a virtuous woman?
Proverbios 31.
Proverbs 31.
Y la vida de Ruth.
And the life of Ruth.
Es lo mismo.
It's the same.
Es el testimonio de la palabra.
This is the testimony of the word.
También la palabra de Dios da testimonio de Pablo.
It gives testimony. The word of God also gives testimony of Paul.
Cuando otros hablan de Pablo,
when others speak about Paul,
de su testimonio,
of his testimony,
de su corazón,
of his heart,
de su pasión,
of his passion,
por la verdad,
for the truth,
por el camino, por el evangelio,
for the way, for the gospel.
Este como Pedro aún está dando testimonio de él en 2 Pedro 3:15.
Just like Peter is giving testimony of Paul in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 15.
Y hace aún una comparación entre Cristo y Pablo.
He does even a comparison between Christ and Paul.
Teniendo un mismo sentir.
Having the same mind. It says, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you."
Finalmente,
finally,
el testimonio final de Ruth se puede ver en el capítulo 4.
And the final testimony of Ruth can be seen back over in Ruth chapter 4.
Del 14 al 15.
In verses 14 and 15.
Cuando las amigas de Noemí le hablan acerca de ella.
When the friends of Naomi speak about her. It says, "And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him."
Podemos ver que el testimonio de Ruth fue consistente toda su vida.
We can see that the testimony of Ruth was consistent her whole life.
Así es como podemos ver que esto es un perfecto amor.
Thus we can see that this is a perfect love.
Como Pablo, al final de su vida, también manifestando.
Just like Paul, at the end of his life, is also making manifest, demonstrating.
La verdad a través de su vida, el amor perfecto a través de su vida.
The truth through his life, the love that he had through
por
his
Cristo.
Life. for Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 7 and 8, Paul says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Cuando él habla de que a todos los que ama su venida,
that when he speaks about everyone loving his appearing,
es como él hizo, como el amor a Cristo es como va a tener el premio que él también obtuvo.
It's as Paul did love him and was going to obtain the prize for doing so.
Él está convencido de esto. Él está claro con esto.
He is convinced of this. He is clear in this.
Pablo da una aclaración final en el libro de Primera de Corintios.
Paul gives a final declaration in 1 Corinthians.
Capítulo 16.
In chapter 16.
Versículo 22.
In verse 22.
Sobre el amor que no permanece.
Over the love that does not remain. It says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha.
Y esto muestra cómo aún cuando Jonathan amó a David como a sí mismo,
this shows that even while Jonathan loved David as himself,
fue un amor temporal.
It was just a temporal love.
No fue un amor que pudo haber perdurado por toda la vida.
It wasn't the love that could have lasted his whole life.
Del reino de David.
And over the kingdom of David.
Como podemos ver el ejemplo de Ruth con Naomi.
Like we can see in the example of Ruth with Naomi.
Y es lo mismo que Pablo está mostrándonos a nosotros.
It's the same thing that Paul is showing to us.
Que si no amamos como Ruth amó a Naomi,
if we don't love Christ as Ruth loved Naomi,
vamos a ser separados como Jonathan amó a David temporalmente.
We'll be separated from Christ just like Jonathan was from David.
Yo me uno al sentir y a las palabras de Pablo en este mismo libro de 1 Corintios 16, 23 al 24. Yo me uno a las mismas palabras de 1 Corintios.
I identify myself with these words of 1 Corinthians.
En el versículo 23 y 24.
In verses 23 and 24, which say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Este es mi sentir.
This is my feeling.
Concluye, Pablo concluye con la gracia del Señor.
Paul concludes with the grace of the Lord.
Yo siento lo mismo, la gracia del Señor esté con ustedes como conmigo.
I feel the same way, the same gratitude of towards you guys.
Y yo espero en el Señor que nos encontremos preparados para su gloria.
And I hope that we will find each other prepared for his glory.
Eso es todo.
Oh. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity we've had here to be able to hear from your word and to see the examples of both Jonathan's love for David, which did not go all the way to the end, which wasn't faithful unto death, or he had something that pulled him away. And then see the good example of Ruth that was faithful all the way through her life, all the way to the end. And that this is the kind of example that we need to follow in our love towards you. To be faithful all the way to the end. To have that perfect love which will remain at the judgment seat of Christ and give us the opportunity to glorify you with your glory for all of eternity. Lord, I thank you for this example. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to hear it laid out from Ramses, and I pray, Lord, that you would continue to help us this very week to walk following that kind of example, to live in that perfect love, and not to be loving and following the things of the world, whether it be the things of the world like Demas, or whether it be even relationships with family or others that will not help us to follow you completely and be able to be prepared when we stand before you. Again, Lord, I thank and praise you for the preaching of your word, for the example we've seen. And I pray, Lord, that that we will be able to apply it and live it and walk in it as we continue to grow in our relationship with you. I ask all this in Jesus' name.